Hello and welcome back to the Nerd Reader Podcast. I'm Mike, and once again, I'm joined by my pals Mark, Omar, Ian, and Erica. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about Godzilla vs. Kong, which was recently released on HBO Max and in theaters. And a few of us actually got together to watch the movie in an actual theater after, you know, months of not being able to go to theaters because of the pandemic. So that was interesting. And we'll talk a bit about that experience. But today we'll focus on GVK, the MonsterVerse in general, and then we'll kind of end with some just general discussion about other things kind of going on in the geek world. So with that, let's dive right in. Let's start with general thoughts. We'll go around the horn. Omar, we'll start with you as our kind of resident Godzilla subject matter expert. Tell us what you thought of GVK and tell us what you're drinking also.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? I am drinking New York red wine, a very cheap bottle of wine that cost me $8, and I got on the way here today. I love the movie. It wasn't perfect. You know, I kind of, some of that Hollow Earth stuff kind of got like a little like over the top and convoluted towards the middle. But that being said, I mean, they did plant the seeds from Godzilla 14. It's like, but I like the fights. Obviously, the fights were very well done. Special effects were amazing. I like the little deaf girl. I kind of like how they kind of like abandoned the old cute blonde gimmick for Kong and kind of did like a tribute to Mothra, replacing the two little twins with like a little deaf girl. I felt like that was a nod to Mothra and the little fairy girl. So I thought that was cool. I liked their whole arc. And I kind of liked Godzilla's arc where like he wasn't a bad guy. He's a force of nature. He's an animal. And even though he's trying to kind of like maintain the peace, he's still a territorial animal. And he needed to show Kong what's what, which he fucking did.
Did you have a monster preference like before
Godzilla,
the movie Godzilla or Kong? Yeah.
Well, you're okay. A Godzilla guy. Yeah, I'm a Godzilla guy. Because like, listen, at the end of the day, right, Kong inspired Godzilla. And originally Godzilla was supposed to be stop motion, but it became too expensive. So they went with the man in suit thing. But if Kong is like the blueprint, like Godzilla's the refinement, you know, like that's the upgrade. And I just think the original 54 Godzilla had a better message because it was an allegory for like the horrors of nuclear weapons and man's abusing science, or man's hubris, if you will. So it's just a deeper movie, and it's an original design. Like it's an original monster, it's an original design. Whereas with Kong, it's just a giant ape, which is not bad. I mean, one of my favorite movies is Them, the giant ants. Like to this day, that sound effect, that wah, 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 like scares the shit out of him. So there's nothing wrong with Kong being just a giant ape, right? Like the original Kong and the Peter Jackson one was great, and Skull Island were great movies. But if you're asking who's the better monster, it's like it's far without any question Godzilla.
That is your opinion, also.
It's a fact, Jack.
Mark, what do you think?
Hey, bro. Thanks for having me. So I'm drinking a Victory Summer Love Golden Ale. It's pretty good. Pretty tasty. So my allegiance is Godzilla like Omar. I liked GVK. I didn't love it. I liked it. The fights were amazing. The fights were actually really good. But I think the plot was kind of convoluted. It's kind of Omar's point. Like the Hollow Earth thing was kind of ridiculous and definitely convoluted. I definitely feel like this is more of a Kong flick. Like, I feel like this leans more towards Kong's strength. He's kind of the star of the show, I feel like, in this movie. Like, everything, all the emotional beats go to Kong. All the plot is driven by Kong. He's the first you see. The last thing you see is Kong. And the main connection you have is with Kong, like, through the deaf girl, who was, you know, great. I love that. That was a great character. That's your main human connection to Kong, and that doesn't really have that kind of connection. So I do think this is a Kong flick, but great movie. I didn't like the side plot with the girl, the podcaster, and her friend. Like that seemed kind of tacked on. Didn't really need that subplot, and didn't really go anywhere. But you know, in terms of the MonsterVerse, I'd probably put this one at like 2 or 3, depending on you know which one other ones are. So yeah, you know, I'm done. Just move on. I'm done.
Okay, Erica, tell us what you thought.
Hello. Well, I'm having a Drekker's Brains Double Fruit Smoothie Sour. It's plum, raspberry, and passion fruit. It's lovely. My general thoughts, I loved it. I am a Vegeta fan from little. My allegiance kind of felt a bit for Kong, but I think that's the idea where you do feel for him because he's more of the emotional monster animal. The fight scenes, I mean, you go see a Godzilla movie, it's about the fight scenes. Everything else is just random extraness that's there. You got to give it a human element because they step on them. But I love the scenes are great. Them roaring and screaming at each other. Yes, you have that warm emotional feeling with Gia and Kong because he saved her. And it helps that she's unable to hear, so she was never fearful of him. I also liked, I guess, in what you guys were saying, there are parts that could have been cut out. Like, I mean, you have the bit with the podcaster and the kids, I guess, to give it more Godzilla stories. It's like trying to balance it out. The Hollow Earth, Mark, to your point, I don't think it was like senseless. I mean, it's mentioned throughout all of the movies. They mention Hollow Earth in Skull Island. They mention it again in Godzilla, King of the Monsters. It's interesting to act like they didn't really think it existed because they had discovered it before. Other than that, I thought it was fantastic for what it is as a big movie, Titan Clash of the Titan action movie. I loved it.
Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, it was good.
Thanks for having me on. I'm drinking Talisker 10. Send me a case, please. As far as the film goes, I kind of agree with Mark. I'm not a huge Godzilla and Monsterverse person. Like I watched all these films. I've seen the original King Kong. I saw the King Kong in 70. So I'm not well versed as to say, you know, Erica or Omar is, or maybe even Mark. But I felt that this film had its flaws. I felt that they had done three movies before this that were very good. And this film, look, seeing them fight is cool. You know, I'm not a monster movie fan because you know what? They're kind of assholes. Like, you know, they come into a city or a place and they destroy it. I get it. They're fighting the other bad guys. But Kong never left his island. He was always taken. Godzilla, on the other hand, that dick just comes out of nowhere and just starts destroying shit. So that's my beef with Godzilla. Kong just kind of kept to himself and was like, I'm going to protect this island, whatever lives here. These people love me. For me, you know, I dug the battles. It was cool. I really liked the Hollow Earth. I actually liked it a lot. Just the fact that it almost even made Kong look small was really cool to me. And then how he flipped up and went from one side to the other. Like the whole thing with his house and the axe and all that stuff. A little bit nuts, but I enjoyed it. That's all I can say is I enjoyed it. Not the best film, not the best monster film, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, by the way, guys, I'm drinking the Hachizaki small batch whiskey. Shout out to Dave for getting this for my birthday. So thanks, brother. Yeah, I enjoyed the movie, right? I mean, I agree. I think they could have cut a lot out of this movie. At the end of the day, all we wanted to see was these two fight, right? That's really all we cared about. So I could have done with a lot of without the backstory. I know you need some plot, obviously, right? But at the end of the day, all we cared about were like the fight scenes, which I thought were phenomenal. So I enjoyed it. You know, it's one of those fun kind of like popcorn movies. You know, you just watch the pretty pictures fly across the screen, you know. So it was what it was. I enjoyed it. I actually, you know, I would have liked to have seen a bit more of a connection to the previous movies. Like even just like having some of those cast members back, like the folks from Skull Island, that would have been cool to have to see them in this movie. But, you know, not that I'm nitpicking. That's not a huge deal. But I would have liked to have seen kind of like a stronger connection to some of the previous flicks. But overall, enjoyed the movie.
I wanted to say, to your point, I agree with you, is that even if they had taken Skarsgård, if they had just made him like the great grandson of like Tom Hiddleston or something like that, yeah, it would have brought something into it, being like, oh, okay, you know, obviously Hiddleston was Kong. So, you know, whatever it was, just something to bring his character to connect to the story.
Okay, you know, Ian, but to your point though, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier about a connection to Godzilla. Like with Kong, you get the little girl, you get Gia, right? That's your connection to King Kong. That's your emotional connection to King Kong. You don't really get that with Godzilla. In the past, you had the Ken Watanabe character who gave you that human connection to Godzilla. You're not really getting that in this movie. You don't really get any of them. That's why, as a Godzilla fan, I wanted more connection to Godzilla.
You get his son who's there to try to kill Godzilla.
Yeah, but it's not really said that. You don't even know that that's his grandson. Yeah. They don't really expand upon that.
I didn't realize that's a weird thing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's his grandson or his son. Right. And it's never said that that's his son. You just hear his name, Ren Sarazawa, who is, you know, that's, you know, Watanabe's character's last name. But like, it's not really expanded upon or really made a big deal of. It's weird.
Yeah, they only mention that he's like his son in like the trailers and like some of the promotional stuff. Yeah, but they don't really, I don't remember them really saying it in the movie.
They didn't.
But in the promotional stuff, they did say, oh, he's the son of Watanabe.
Did they really? I missed that.
Yes.
But
it should be mentioned in the movie.
No, of course, yeah.
Promotional stuff.
I feel like that's the whole point, is that Godzilla got two damn movies and Kong Skull Island. Kong got one, and it was so long ago compared to how recent the Godzilla was.
Oh, yeah, in the 70s.
No. Skull Island was 2016.
No. No, I've been saying timeline-wise, it was the 70s.
Timeline-wise, yes. But
actually, can I respond to a few points real quick? Just a few things. As to Mark's point about Kong being more of like the central character, there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Toho has a rule that Godzilla is not allowed to emote. He has to strictly be portrayed as a force of nature. Mm. So the director actually had to do like some clever things to allow Godzilla to at least show some kind of emotion. But ultimately, he's supposed to be portrayed as a force of nature. And to Erica's point, Kong kind of had to be the protagonist because he lends himself to that role. Like, as a whole, he's more sympathetic. Like Ian said, like, he's on his island, right? He doesn't want no smoke. And people just bringing him over to the city. And, you know, it's like, it's a wild animal. At the end of the day, Kong is a wild animal. So, like, you can't be... Yeah, both of them are. So, like, of course they're going to destroy buildings because it's like, they're in the way. Like, to their perspective, they're just trees, funny looking trees.
But yeah, so, but the humans brought them together.
Right. Well, even like in the standalone Godzilla movies or in general, you don't have any problem walking through an anthill, like when you're in Central Park, right? Right? You don't think about, right. No, but I'm saying, like, you don't think about the insects that you're stepping on, and to the monsters, that's what we are. So they're not assholes for like, oh, you know. Oh, they destroyed our city. It's like, yeah, no, we're ants. We're insignificant to them.
They were here first.
I mean, it's still fucked up.
No, it's really not. It's really not.
Of course it is.
Because to them, we're literally ants. Like, we're nothing to them.
Yeah, but to the ants, when we step on their anthills, they think we're assholes. So, yeah.
The whole world is Batman, and they're Superman, and fucking what's his face?
And to the other point about that, you wish it was more connection to like the earlier movies. John Goodman did do a voiceover at the beginning of the movie, and the whole plot kind of centers around Ghidorah's severed head from King of Monsters.
Yeah, no, Omar, you're right. I mean, listen, I think there were plot lines that were consistent. I was really referring more to like the characters, right? Like, I would have liked to have seen maybe some of those characters from Skull Island maybe brought back. And I didn't make the connection that doctor was actually Ken Watanabe's son. I didn't make that connection either. So that's actually a pretty good connection. But again, it wasn't a focal point at all, right? Like they barely mentioned it, right? So
they didn't even say it.
Yeah, that's really the point I was trying to make there. So it sounds like, you know, I was going to ask the question of like, you know, did this movie change any of your like allegiances to either monster? But it sounds like everybody on the call, except for me, is a Godzilla fan. I'm a Kong fan. I've always been more of a Kong fan.
I think Ian's a Kong fan.
Oh, Ian, are you a Kong fan?
In this storyline, right? In this MonsterVerse, I have to say I'm probably more Kong sympathetic. But overall, I love Godzilla for the idea of it, the campiness, the soundtrack, the samplers, the numerous samples of, you know, that from MF Doom and all those. Like, so to me, it's like Godzilla, the toys of Godzilla, it's always resonated so much more with me. So yeah, I'm more of a Godzilla fan, but in these movies, I felt like I actually like, oh, this is the first time I've actually kind of liked Kong. And then I also just watched Ready Player One, which I had never seen last night. And he was in that too. So I was like, oh, look at that. And Mechagodzilla. So there you go. Spoilers.
Yeah, I agree with Ian. Kong's definitely made a lot more sympathetic in this movie. You're almost rooting for him. I'm a Godzilla fan, but it's hard to deny that Kong as the underdog, you're rooting for him, right? You definitely don't want him to get hurt or killed. Like when Godzilla was, you know, spoiler alert, was like, you know, winning the fight and like scratching him up and like, you know, biting him, fucking him up. I'm like, oh my God, don't kill Kong. As much as I want Godzilla to win, I didn't want him to kill Kong. You root for Kong, you care about Kong. You know, this movie definitely makes you feel for Kong.
Well, that's the humanity of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's the closest to what we can relate to.
Yeah. That's probably why Godzilla's harder to emote to Omar's point. Like, you know, a Godzilla doesn't really emote. Like, it's hard to build a human connection to Godzilla because he's a giant lizard. And King Kong. Yeah, he's a lizard. Whereas Kong is a gorilla, a giant gorilla. So it obviously makes more sense. We gravitate more towards Kong.
I'd like to add also that my friend Daniel, God rest his soul, he was a huge kaiju fan. And he had a really interesting take on kaiju films in general. And he was like, for him, I'm on board with this theory that a good kaiju film should play out like a disaster movie. Like you should be able to replace the giant monster with an earthquake, hurricane. It should be about people witnessing and surviving. Cloverfield, I feel, kind of did that really well, where it's like the humans are witnesses to something they have no control over and can't do anything about. To me, like, that's the appeal of, because like at the end of the day, like a vampire, like, oh, okay, I got some garlic. If you got a werewolf, yeah, I got some silver bullets. You can't do shit to a giant fuck. You are literally the mouse in the house with like a cat. Like, there's nothing you can do but try to survive and make it to the next day. But as a genre, what I think is great about it is the fact that like it can be a goofy like two giant monsters having a wrestling match. Or it can make a statement like Kong Skull Island did. The original 54 Godzilla. There was a great kaiju film by independent director called Monsters, where it kind of dealt with the whole immigration issue. So you had these giant like Martians, and they would wreckage, and people from the U.S. were trying to get into Mexico to be safe because they completely destroyed the U.S. So like, there's so much you can do with the genre. That's kind of what I liked about Godzilla vs. Kong, where it's like you got enough about the humans to care, but not so much that distracted from the monsters. And yeah, some of it was kind of like on that goofy Scooby-Doo type shit. I, Bobby Brown's character, and I love her character and the podcasters, but it was just very Scooby-Doo-ish. Like all they needed was like a mystery van, which actually they fucking had a mystery van at the beginning.
I'm gonna say tap water.
Yeah, crazy. And I just feel like, as a whole, the genre kind of gets underappreciated and overlooked for its potential.
Yeah, Omar, just one supporting point. I actually, some of my favorite scenes in this movie were where you got the people's perspective of the battles, right? And there was this one shot in Hong Kong where people were in a skyscraper looking out from their building at the fight. That scene like specifically really struck me, because it's like, you know, again, getting that like, you know, the perspective of someone, well, in this case, in a building or on the ground, right? Of like this, like just imagine like being in New York City, like I'm looking out my window right now. Imagine seeing like Kong and like Godzilla kicking each other's asses, like, you know, in the middle of Midtown, right? It'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, you would be scared shitless. Like, yeah, what do I do?
And you'd be an idiot if you stood there and watched.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, you would.
If you saw a giant monkey and a giant lizard fighting outside your building, you might step for at least a second, go, what the fuck is going on?
you get stuck for a second,
a
motherfucker.
Huh, that makes sense. That's a completely natural response.
We've talked about our thoughts on GVK. This is the fourth movie in this Monsterverse saga, right? The first being Skull Island with Kong, and then Godzilla, and then Godzilla King of Monsters. Having seen all four movies, let's rank them from 1 to 4. What would your ranking be? Omar, we'll start with you.
What's up, fucker? I actually had some difficulty like trying to like put these in order, because like Skull Island was a really good kaiju film, you know, like from Sam Jackson's arc, you know, and Loki and Captain Marvel's arc. I can't remember that. I'm bad with names. It's like, oh, that's Captain Marvel and
Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson.
Yeah, them two. Their whole arc, like the whole like opposing view, like, you know, so it's like you had that right amount of like, you know, the humans and their stories and the different opinions and all of this in the backdrop of a giant ape fighting weird looking lizard things. But a part of me just cannot put it too high because of my love of Godzilla. I know a lot of people complain with the first one, Godzilla 14, that he was barely in the movie until the end. But I also think like a lot of modern audiences don't understand tension. And like, I remember reading the director, he wanted to take like the Jaws approach, which Jaws is an amazing movie, right? No one will argue that Jaws is a bad movie. I like the fact that even when Godzilla wasn't there, like you felt his presence, like you felt that fear of this creature. But also, like, it's kind of hard to ignore the action in like something like Skull Island and King of the Monsters. So my number one would have to be King of Monsters. Number two, Kong and Skull Island. Number three, Godzilla 14. And the last one would be Godzilla versus Kong. And the only reason it's at the bottom is because like that was like the fun popcorn flick. You know, you got to see these two characters like Duke It Out. Like, I loved it as a film, right? But I just feel like it wasn't as good, and not in a bad way, but just not as good as the other ones.
Erica, what do you think? Rank them 1 through 4.
Ranking them 1 through 4. So, surprisingly for me, I super enjoyed Skull Island, and I'm not a Kong fan at all. So, that actually is 1 for me. That one, I got emotional. I cried a little bit. It was dope. Then I do King of Monsters. And that's a toss-up for me. Probably Godzilla versus Kong for the fighting, and then Godzilla. Oh, no. Maybe Godzilla, then Godzilla versus Kong, because Bryan Cranston as well in Godzilla had me boo-hooing within the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie. So he's amazing in that. That's my ranking, then.
Ian, you want to go? You want to go next?
So my ranking would be unpopular opinion. It's hard to say which one is my favorite out of these two, but 1A, 1B would be Godzilla 14 and Kong Skull Island. I guess I agree with Omar in regards to 14. Is I didn't find it to be a problem that there wasn't much. So to me, I just love the build of that film, and Cranston's great, and I feel like then it would be King of Monsters and then Godzilla versus Kong. That's my ranking.
Just dive in with your ranking, Mark.
So this one's kind of tough for me, I'm not gonna lie. My number one is Godzilla King of Monsters. For me, like, those fight scenes with Godzilla and Ghidorah were just epic and couldn't be topped. The plot line in King of Monsters is iffy at best, but still, like, you know, that the fighting was amazing for me. That's why it's number one for me. I guess 2 and 3, I probably put 2 as Godzilla 2014, because to Omar's and Ian's points, you know, the tension, you just feel it. Like, and Bryan Cranston, and even Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, like, they all put in great performances, to follow Omar's example here. But yeah, like, Brian, like, for me, it was Bryan Cranston just sold the direness of it. And, you know, you're seeing the two Mudos just rampage through Japan, through Vegas, through San Francisco. It's a crazy ride. And then when you finally do see Godzilla, you're just like, oh my God, this is amazing. So yeah, that's why I put that one as a number 2. And then 3 would probably be is Skull Island, because that movie's great. You have Hiddleston and Brie Larson, and they both do a great job. Sam Jackson's amazing as a PTSD colonel, I think he's a colonel. Could be wrong. Does a great job. It's just a great movie, right? You know, you see Kong, and I know he's instantly portrayed as kind of a bad guy, but then once you get the kind of backstory from, what's his name, the guy from World War II, he pretty much breaks it down that, yeah, you're the bad guys. You're the dicks for bombing our home. Like, what are you doing? I like that little plot there. And then last is GVK. Now, with GVK, like, I have a hard time putting it last, because it's probably some of the best fight scenes in the series. But at the same time, it also has the weakest plot and, like, the weakest story. Part of me wants to put it at number 2 because it does have the best fight scenes. But also, the plot line was frustrating as all hell. But yeah, so my ranking is King of Monsters, Godzilla 2014, and then Skull Island, and then finally GVK.
Yeah, and just to close this out, my top 4 would be Skull Island, GVK, King of Monsters, and then Godzilla. Skull Island is my favorite movie of the MonsterVerse thus far. I thought it was just like one of the better takes on Kong. You know, I thought it was a pretty tense flick also, right? When they're kind of walking through the jungle, just really lots of like intense scenes where you're just waiting for them to get attacked and wondering how they're going to actually survive this like this kind of crazy jungle they're trying to navigate through. And I also really loved that war veteran who was stranded, John C. Reilly. I liked his character also, right? But in any case, yeah, really like Skull Island. GVK, listen, I've got that second because all I care about in these flicks is the action and the fight scenes. And in my opinion, this movie had some of the better fight scenes in the MonsterVerse. I mean, there were some killer ones, obviously, in Godzilla King of Monsters. But I love the fight scenes in the middle of the cities. I love the destruction. Like when you see like Kong just like sitting back on a building, like relaxing after getting his ass. It was like, it's crazy. Like I just really enjoyed the special effects and the fight scene. So I had GVK there, and King of Monsters was great. And so was Godzilla. All these movies I actually really enjoyed, but that would be my ranking. So I just mentioned the fight scenes. Any thoughts on like which of these movies had the best fight scenes? I'm going to go with, you know, GVK having the best fight scenes, but I thought King of Monsters was amazing as well. Any other thoughts on the best fight scenes in the MonsterVerse?
Who's going first?
I'll go.
I bow to you, Mark.
Thank you, Omar.
Fuck you.
Fuck you too, Omar. Love you, brother. Yeah, I think King of Monsters has the best fight scenes. Ghidorah and Godzilla is epic. Even like, you know, Mothra fighting Rodan, you know, even that's a pretty fun fight. Then obviously it's GVK. I'm not sure who has a better fight scene between Godzilla and Skull Island, but they're probably tied for me.
Well, no, I'm just thinking about it. But for me, definitely King of Monsters has had great fight scenes. Godzilla versus Kong had amazing fight scenes. I mean, when Mothra goes and like does what she does and joins him and like he sucks in like her soul, like it's amazing. King of Monsters had the best ones, and then in GVK then. Kong for me didn't really have fight scenes. He was just, he fought the creatures that were on the island when they went to, I guess, to attack. Because, I mean, he still has that human factor where he will protect. So at that point, now he's protecting Captain Marvel. So in that movie. And then Godzilla, I mean, Godzilla was good too. But yeah, those are my two favorites. I would say King of Monsters and then JBK.
It would have to be King of Monsters, hands down. Those fight scenes were crazy. So many fight scenes. It would be King of Monsters and then Godzilla 14. Then Godzilla versus Kong. And that's all I have to say about that.
I agree with everyone here that I think King of Monsters had the best fight scenes. King Ghidorah is Godzilla's Green Goblin, his Lex Luthor. So to have, like, you have Rodan, you have Mothra, Godzilla. Well, you have all these random, like, extra kaiju running around. Like, that to me, like, that had the best fight scenes. And literally, like, right after it, but like a hair, is Godzilla versus Kong. I thought Godzilla versus Kong had amazing fight scenes. And I think those two movies had the best action fight scenes of all the MonsterVerse movies. Like, I would almost put them as a tie, but I lean towards King of Monsters because I love that film.
You know, we've got this MonsterVerse here, right? Similar to MCU and DCU, where they had, you know, a few movies. Well, in the case of Marvel, they had 10 years leading up to Avengers Endgame, but a bunch of movies leading up to like a culminating, you know, epic battle and a final movie. How would you guys rank the MonsterVerse versus the MCU and the DCU?
You mean,
where would you rank the MonsterVerse against MCU and DCU? Put it that way.
It would be DCU, totally. No, it'd be MCU, MonsterVerse, DCU. MonsterVerse is very well done. From beginning to end, they had an idea, they had a plan, they stuck with it. Those post-credit scenes that people didn't sit and watch for Skull Island. They were there and they were building to something and it was great. That's how I feel. I feel like it's 1, 2, and 3, MCU, MonsterVerse, and then DCU. I don't even think, I think you could probably put like Lord of the Rings before DCU also.
Yo, that fucking DCU shade, bro.
It's Yo, hard shade. Like hard they owe shade. Him money. Like they owe him money.
But he's not wrong though. Dude,
I agree with Ian 100%.
Ian spoke for all of us, I think, right? I think everyone agrees with Ian that it's MCU, MonsterVerse, Lord of the Rings, you know, DC Universe, you know, the Mummyverse, you know, the Mummy Dracula verse is better than DC.
Mission Impossible, DCU.
Hey. Do not speak ill of Mission Impossible. Those movies are awesome.
He's not.
Okay. But you may speak ill. What was the other one?
Mummy. Monster of the Dracula.
That could have been good, but they fucked that up. That could have been good. I feel that, first of all, like, listen, MCU, number one, without a doubt. I just think it needs to be said that the MCU is not a revolutionary idea. It's not the first time that it's been done. The old Universal Monsters was a shared universe. Godzilla. All the old Showa movies, that was a shared universe. Kong versus Godzilla was the first one, and those movies followed Mothra and Rodan, which came after Godzilla 2 in 55. And those movies had a loose continuity in the Millennium series. So there's three major eras: there's Showa, Heisei, and Millennium. And Millennium started in 2000. I might be wrong about that. But those films were treated more like an anthology, like Twilight Zone, where like each movie kind of stood on its own, for the exception of two movies that were direct sequels. And one of them was, I think it was Godzilla Tokyo SOS. That movie referenced the original Mothra from the 60s and War of the Gargantuans. So like the whole idea of like a shared movie universe is not an original revolutionary thing. Like I said, Universal Monsters had that because... You know, you had Frankenstein versus Dracula. You had the Wolfman versus the creature from the Black Lagoon. But I think Marvel did a very good, like, an excellent job of, like, bringing that into, like, the modern era. DCU tried to like take shortcuts, and they tried to introduce the Justice League in like three movies, which is ridiculous. As much as I like the Snyder cut, the DCU could have benefited from following the MCU a little bit more. But I get why they didn't want to do that. And I think it was Ian or Mark said, like, it was Ian. It's like the MonsterVerse, they clearly had a plan. They had a specific storyline. Monarch was their shield. The Hollow Earth was their Thanos. It went through all the movies. Yeah, I think it was MCU, MonsterVerse, and like DCU, a distant fucking third.
Thank you, Omar, for the history of shared universes throughout the history of cinema.
101, shared histories, 101.
All right, so let's move on. What is the future of the MonsterVerse? What do you guys think? I mean, is this it, right? I mean, we've seen the final epic battle of, Godzilla versus Kong. Do we want more of this, right? And where would they go if they were to continue it? Or do we think that this is it? What do you guys think?
I want more of it. And I think it'll be based upon how well
that's
it
what she said.
I'll give you that one, Omar. I'll give you that
Did
one.
Did you stick the landing, folks? What do you guys think?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
all right.
I think you got
Drink.
That one.
Drink.
So two shots for me, one for me and one for Ian.
Oh, God.
So whoever was talking, Mark.
Continue, yeah, Mark. I want more of it. I want more MonsterVerse movies. I think it'll be determined by how well GVK does the box office, which seems doing pretty well. I just don't know where they'd go. Maybe Omar can expand on that when he talks. I don't know where they'd go, and I want more of it. I do.
I actually think it's run its course by them ramming every single freaking monster in that second Godzilla film, as opposed to kind of spacing it out a little bit. I think they kind of shot their load. The only way I could see is somehow you merge yet another universe with this film, and somehow like Godzilla shows up in fucking Pacific Rim or something like that. That's the only way I could see going through this and going, oh, here's something fresh. Godzilla versus Kong was like, this is the freshest we're going to get. And after that, what else do we have? Kong has a happy ending. Godzilla has his ending, which is still his beginning, I guess, is the same thing he's always done, is just wandering around the water waiting for something to happen so he can fight it. It's just, what else can happen?
I mean, listen, I agree. Like, you know, it kind of felt like an end, right? Godzilla got his ending, Kong got his ending. By the way, I want to fight Ian. I don't like his like anti-kaiju film like propaganda over here. I don't like it.
Maybe that's what we take the MonsterVerse. Ian versus Omar.
Ian versus Omarverse.
Ian.
Okay. Listen, but Omarverse has German porn. That's what I'm gonna say.
Ian.
Fuck you, Mark. I'm sorry, all jokes aside, listen, I would like to see the MonsterVerse continue, but just like in the original kaiju films, I would like to see, like when they did Godzilla 2, Godzilla Raids Again, which came out a year after the original Godzilla, which, fun fact, the original 54 Godzilla was criticized for exploiting the nuclear attacks on Japan. It was successful, but there was the criticism that they were exploiting what happened, the tragedy. So after Godzilla 2, they made Rodan, they made Mothra. I think it was a third movie called Baragon. So that being said, and after those movies, they made Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't mind if they decided to, you know, like make original monster movies in that universe, in this universe. And you know, maybe like what kaiju and sci-fi in general has always been good at. Like, you know, make original monsters and original scripts. And make some kind of social message or like some kind of statement, and then have those monsters eventually fight Godzilla, you know, if you want. I want to see more giant monsters. I think it's a great genre. And I think that if you give some talented directors so a little bit of freedom and a little bit of leeway, they could come up with some great movies. I don't think that's going to happen, right? But I think the potential is there. Now that you got all the blockbusters out of the way, like you can make some like serious kaiju films and then make some silly ones where it's like, oh, let's just fight Godzilla. That's my personal opinion on the future of the MonsterVerse and what I'd like to see.
Omar, quick question for you. In Godzilla's history, is there anyone else he could fight besides what he's already fought in?
Oh, there's a ton. There's Biollante, which that was the movie after Godzilla 85. And that one was kind of like a tragic horror. You know, it was a scientist whose daughter had died, and like he combined her DNA with a plant and Godzilla. And
what was his name? Can you say the name again?
Biollante,
right?
It was like it was a combination of like the DNA of like the scientist's daughter. And they kind of like delved in the whole, like, you know.
Was he Puerto Rican?
That was his roar, actually. It was like, I'll say that was a little bit of swab. And then he would fire like yes. weeds from his mouth. But it was actually a sweet story of a scientist who was grieving and wanted to bring his daughter back. And it just ended up being this giant Godzilla-esque rose monster. So it's Biollante, the space Godzilla destroyer. But the plot with that one was that the original oxygen destroyer that killed Godzilla irradiated the microscopic organisms that were in the ocean, and they became this giant monster who just basically killed Godzilla. So there's other monsters that Godzilla could fight from the Tohoverse.
So a few of us got to actually see this GVK movie in theaters. Again, it was, you know, the first time that me, Mark, and Erica had been to a theater since the pandemic started. Mark, Erica, what are your thoughts on being in a theater again? I mean, we were lucky enough to be able to kind of like rent out the whole theater, and we just had, you know, our own friends there. So it's not like we had to contend with people we didn't know being in the theater. But what were your thoughts on being back in the theater? I like seeing this movie specifically like on a big screen. I think it lent itself to the you know, big screen with the great sound as opposed to watching it at home. But what do you guys think?
I loved it. It was needed. It was missed. Considering that I would go to the movies every week when I would go to work. Free Tuesdays was my jam. It was fun. It was just fun to see like my friends in a place and, you know, sit not together, but sit in one space and have popcorn and watch a movie and laugh at it. And it's a different feel like with when you're with people to watch a big movie, you know, and it was just like, and just reacting at the same time is also fun. I thought it was great. And I wanted to see this on a big screen with all the roaring, because that's always my favorite. Like, I get goosebumps when Godzilla yells or screams or roars. That's my thing. So yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I loved it too. I echo Erica's comments. It was great finally being back in theaters. This is the perfect movie to see on the big screen. You know, giant monsters fighting, a perfect movie for that. It was great being in our own little personal theater with no one else there. That was pretty awesome, not gonna lie. And I do look forward to finally going back to theaters. Like, people are saying that, you know, theaters are gonna die. I hope that's not true, because I definitely do like the theater going experience, and I, you know, I'd hate for it to go away. So this is encouraging that, you know, they're opening up again, and, you know, we can see more movies in theaters now. So I'm definitely more excited to see when we can get back in the theaters more frequently.
All right, so we'll leave the GVK conversation there. Let's dive into some news from the week. One of the bigger announcements was that there's a Sony Netflix deal that's in place. What do you guys think about what that deal means for Netflix and for Sony?
It's an interesting deal. Obviously, this puts Sony in the running with Disney and HBO and Warner Brothers, but not really, because there's still might be 9 months before they get Sony films onto Netflix, depending on the films. The implication down the line is interesting, because if Netflix can really get in there with Sony and this deal goes well and blah, 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 and it's beneficial, this might be the person who buys Sony finally and allows us to get Spider-Man back in the MCU. And Spider-Verse is definitely above DCEU, which is sad, because I hate those films. Anyway, takeaway for me is like, okay, this lines up now that if Sony is trusting Netflix this way and Netflix is spending this much money and giving it to them, then this might be the studio that Netflix has been wanting to find and buy, and the buyer that Sony's been looking to. It'll be interesting to see if they want to get rid of that, you know. So we'll see, and hopefully maybe we'll see Peter Parker back in the MCU for good in the next 2 to 3 years.
I guess I'll go next. Yeah, that's a great deal for Sony, because I know Netflix, one of the reasons why they did this was they wanted Spider-Man. Right, they want Spider-Man on their platform. Unless them buying Sony's movie department gets them Spider-Man, they probably won't do that. Because I know they want that feature on their platform. So it's also kind of a giant F you to Disney, you know, because now Spider-Man is going to be on Netflix and not Disney Plus. So that's kind of a little F you to Disney. And they're like, oh, hey, yeah, we're not going to put Spider-Man on your platform. We're going to put him on Netflix's platform, your competitor. Kind of a small F you. I think it's good for Sony. It definitely helps them out a lot, and definitely helps out Netflix, and now they have more content to put on their platform. So it seems like a win-win for both companies. I just wish Spider-Man wasn't now stuck on Netflix.
I agree with Mark. It's definitely a fuck you to Disney. I wouldn't say stuck on Netflix. Like I don't know. Like, I like
maybe
Netflix.
Not stuck. Maybe not stuck. But like, you know, he's not going to be on Disney Plus anytime soon.
Listen, I got Disney Plus and Netflix. I don't give a shit. All right, like, fine. I'll watch the Spider-Man movies on Netflix.
You know, like, no, yeah, fair
listen,
point.
Just, I watch Spider-Man on Netflix. I don't care.
Out of their entire catalog, Spider-Man is the biggest franchise they have. That's their cash cow.
Oh, no doubt. But out of what everyone's doing to Netflix, as far as like taking their, you know, making their own streaming services, taking all their movies away and all their shows. Mm-hmm. So Netflix is like, we need to buy somebody that has a catalog. And Sony, because they bought Columbia so many years ago, they have all of these movies that they could, you know, throw in there. So I think that it's a win-win, you know, for both of them. And even if they don't have Spider-Man, because they'll, you know, yeah, it's going to suck and that's what they want, but you got to know that that's the case, unless the deal is, okay, Netflix is going to feed Sony money to show their films, to feed them, to make them make these movies, and then they'll keep Spider-Man on Netflix forever. But like Omar said, I'm not against that. Netflix has some good programming. I watch Netflix. I have Netflix.
No, so when I say it's stuck on Netflix, I don't mean that it's stuck on Netflix. What I mean is that...
It sounded derogatory.
Sorry, Omar. I'm sorry to offend you. Didn't mean to.
I was very offended.
I don't care. What I'm trying to say is that I want Spider-Man back with Disney, right? I want him to be back with Marvel. I don't want him with Sony. That's all I want. So I don't mean to disparage Netflix in that regard. What I'm saying is I want Spider-Man back home. That's what I want. That's what I mean by that.
Far from home.
I guarantee you when Marvel finally gets Spider-Man back, that's going to be the name of the fucking movie, Spider-Man Back Home.
Back Home? Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or Welcome Home.
Omar, fuck you.
That is perfect. Erica, do you have any ideas, thoughts on the Sony deal?
I agree with you guys, I guess. I mean, it's a huge thing for Netflix. I mean, apparently the negotiations are going on for like 2 years, and they finally like signed it. So, yeah, to your point, it's about having Spider-Man. And like, you know, now that HBO does the whole release at home as well as in the theater, Netflix is all about getting up on everybody else anyway. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel as strongly as you do about it being on Disney Spider-Man, but.
So in other news, right, the Loki trailer came out. Any thoughts on the Loki trailer?
Fun. It looks amazing. I love anything time travel-y. So that's cool.
I thought it was great. Looks fun. Cool to see Loki travel through time and, you know, do and be part of different events. I'm down
a
for
variant.
It.
Be a variant.
The time variance authority, TVA.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, hey, the broken nose guy, Owen Wilson. His character is actually a prominent like Marvel character in the whole like time traveling thing. Listen, anything with Tom Hiddleston is gonna be awesome. I can't wait just on him alone, I want to see a show.
Say his name again, Omar.
Tom Hiddleston.
There you go.
Can we agree that Loki has the worst hair in the MCU?
Worst hair.
Like that whole greasy.
That's a wig, though. It's not his fault.
Hey, man.
I'm not saying Tom Hiddleston has bad hair. I know it's a wig. I'm just saying.
No, his hair is magnificent. How dare you, sir?
I'm losing my hair, so I have to say yes. Very nice.
Oh, so am I.
I think Loki's going to be really good. I think it looks beautiful. Can't wait to see where they're going with it. I hope we get some sort of Kang reference, Kang the Conqueror. You know, it's going to be interesting how this ties in, you know, because this is the only show so far that's got green lit for a second season out of the MCU or the MCD+. I don't know what the hell you want to call this.
Do we know how long Loki's going to be?
I think they said I think someone said 6 episodes also, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 8.
It's 6 episodes.
It's 6?
There it is.
So I'm guessing these are hour-long shows, episodes then, hopefully, right?
So do you think we're actually going to see Idris Elba and Chris Hemsworth?
Well, doesn't he get teleported to...
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So... But they're saying that, you know, these are different versions of these characters. So I don't think we'll see Idris or Chris, but we'll see like different versions of Thor and a Heimdall. So who knows? Because like I think there's a shot in one of the trailers where it looks like Black Widow.
No, but that's the female
exactly,
Loki.
Exactly. It's the female Loki. So we're going to see different versions of Loki, of Thor, of Heimdall. So I don't think we'll have to see those versions, but I think we'll get different takes on those characters. Hmm? What?
That's Thor 4.
Guardians of the Multiverse also announced today. Thoughts on what that can mean for the MCU?
It's an interesting concept because, you know, it's taking What If, and then, you know, they're going to, I guess, combine all the heroes that show up in What If, and they're going to become the Guardians of the Multiverse. Now, it hasn't been officially announced, but, you know, there was some artwork found recently That strongly hinted that this is going to be a new property that Disney Plus will be on Disney Plus. So I'm excited for it. I'm curious to see what they do with it. I mean, it's going to be like the female Captain Britain, Star-Lord, T'Challa, Doctor Strange, and some other characters too. I'm curious to see what they do with it.
All right, guys, you ready to wrap up or what? Any other thoughts?
I just want to say, wait, what was the question?
Guardians of the Multiverse.
Listen, I'm looking forward. From day one, when they announced What If, I've been looking forward to it. So the fact that they're making a superhero team animated from that, I'm all on board. Growing up, for me, What If was one of the best comics out. So to have an animated series with The Watcher, and then they're going to like, because they did that in the comics. They had like the exiles, and they were people from different realities going to different alternate universes, kind of like trying to fix stuff. So I like that idea. I'm excited for the show. I can't wait.
Okay, we'll leave the conversation there.
Also, I just wanted to say for the record that I'm not against kaiju films, so don't send me any hate mail and kaiju loving people. I'm just saying I want something different. You know, give me some motherfucking Voltron versus Godzilla. Give me, you know, Gundam versus Godzilla. You know, give me something. Go outside. Like, don't just keep doing monsters. Yeah. Like, let's bring the heat. Let's do Ultraman. Let's do a live Ultraman, live action Ultraman versus Godzilla or something like
Even
that.
Even with the deep cuts.
I love Ultra.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
Fun perfect. Fact, Marvel's currently publishing Ultraman comic books.
Really?
Yes.
You know that.
And fun fact, I want to fight Ian. I don't like his anti-kaiju propaganda.
Shout out to Omar for really living the values of this show. You're pretty fucking drunk, and I appreciate it. So thanks.
I mean, I thought that was the fucking point.
No, you're right.
You guys.
Keep up the good work, sir.
You nailed it, bro. You nailed it.
That's it.
You're winning,
come on,
Saki.
Step up. Listen, step up your game. All of you.
All right, guys. We'll leave the conversation there. Thanks for joining the Inebriated Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.